One of the things that they mentioned in the video was pray for the children of the world, pray for our world and those who don't know Christ. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is prayer. And so it's a joy to be here with you guys again, and I just get really excited when I get to preach the Word of God, and I just pray that it's all of Him today and not of me. So let's open in a word of prayer, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You and we praise You for the fact that You gave us an opportunity to know Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we each stop and we look back at how we came to know Christ, we realize that there was someone out there who took the time out of their life to share Jesus Christ with us. And I pray that each one of us would be willing to do the same. Lord, we come before You in prayer, and we just ask that Your Holy Spirit would meet us here in this place, that You would touch our hearts, prepare our hearts to hear Your voice, and not just to hear You, but to respond to You and act. Lord, I pray that the words spoken out of me today would be all You, Lord, and out of myself. Teach us about prayer today. Teach us how to be in communion with You. We love You, Lord, and we praise You, and we give You all the glory and the honor, and ask this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As I was trying to figure out what I was going to preach about, I was talking to my wife. I was always telling her, I was like, you know, I really wish someone would do a series on prayer. Someone should preach about prayer. And then she goes and gives me this revelational quote. She's like, well, why don't you preach about prayer? Oh, that's a good idea. And so that's what God's laid on my heart. And there's so much about prayer that can be talked about. And it can seriously be put into a huge series with all the aspects of prayer that you can touch on. I don't have time to do a series with you guys, and so I decided to, in order to make it short, we're going to look at prayer in the acronym of PRAYER. And so, first of all, I want to take you guys back to your childhood for a moment, and I want you guys to, have you guys ever wondered what it would be like to have superpowers? To have a power, what power would you have? You could have powers like being able to manipulate fire or ice, or be able to fly, or have superhuman strength, which I was actually born with. But whatever power you would have, like for many of us when we were kids, we would think about having a superpower. Today I want to talk about the power of prayer. This is something that a lot of us go through our Christian lives, especially in our nation, I believe, not realizing the power that we have in the prayers that we pray each and every day. It's so easy for us to make our prayers just an ordinary thing that we do before each meal. Lord, thank You for this food. Bless the good of our bodies. Amen. You know, or we may pray before bed. There is so much power in prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." It says that we're supposed to pray in everything. Be careful for nothing. Many of us, we worry, we care, and we're anxious about things. And here God is telling us to pray in all things. So when we get started, let's first look at the definition of prayer. Prayer. A solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. So this definition, it only really scratches the bare surface of what prayer is to us as believers and as Christians. This one says, a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. But to us as Christians and believers, prayer is our lifeline. It's our red phone to the president, to the king. It's our It's our one way of communication and communion with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The same man that humbled himself enough to leave his throne in heaven, come down to this earth, and die for us. That's that same God that we get to communicate with. We don't have to go to a father, a priest, and have our prayers transferred through him. No, the Bible tells us that Jesus intercedes for us on our behalf, even when we don't know how to pray. I want to read to you guys from Acts chapter 12, verse 1. So if you guys will turn there with me. I want to read to you this story in Acts. And so we'll just read through it and we'll talk about it. So Acts chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said unto him, "Gird yourself and tie your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. It opened by itself. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And Peter had come to himself. He said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent an angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You're beside yourself, you're crazy." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is an angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hands to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go, tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. So I read to you this entire story so that you guys could have an example of the power of prayer. Now, again, it's easy for us. I grew up going to church. And so I listened in my whole life. And it's easy to get into a place in your life where you read these stories, you hear these stories, and they just don't mean anything anymore. But here was Peter. He was put in prison, chained, and had these guards surrounding him at every minute, every hour of the day and night. Do you think that Peter would have gotten out if he didn't have all this prayer behind him? I mean, here, it showed it twice, that these people, these friends, these brothers and sisters in Christ, were gathered together in prayer, like constant prayer for Peter, that God would deliver him. Do you guys know the amount of prayer of power that abides in each one of you? John 1 12 and 13 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." One of the powers God gives us is the ability to communicate with him whenever and wherever we want. We have the ability to be in constant communication with him. I love this verse because it's just so powerful that God loves us so much that he gives us an opportunity and a way to become his children. And just as we look to our earthly fathers for the things that we need and our requests, and our fathers are willing to give those things to us, being a new father and having a newborn, I get to see that new light when I have this infant child who is so needy. They depend on you for absolutely everything. But that's the same amount of faith. That's the same desire that God wants for us. He wants us to have that same just constant need of him. As many of you know, I've had the opportunity of doing some mission work in Brazil and the Philippines, and it was in these places where I'm taken away from the United States and my family and everything I know, it gives me the opportunity to realize how to fall back on depending on God for everything. When we don't have our checkbooks and our debit cards and credit cards and our friends to call, and you can't just pick up the phone and call your family, like, what else do you do but fall to your knees and ask your Heavenly Father? And that's the way it should continue to be. But it's hard in this nation. I think that's one of Satan's great tricks, is deceiving us to think that we have everything we need. We don't need God. And just like these children in the Christmas trial video, Christmas boxes, they are so willing to accept Christ because they know they need a Savior. You know, for them to receive a toy for the first time, I mean, what joy that brings to them. Just imagine the joy that Christ brings to them. How is it that we lost that joy? It is through prayer that God demonstrates his power to heal as well. James chapter 5, verse 14 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." One thing that my old pastor used to say that I just loved is, God is still in the miracle business. He still is. He is still in the business of healing. I think my wife and I were talking about this on our way here, and it's interesting how a lot of churches tend to not talk about healing. I don't hear it very often. One thing that I will say now is, there's physical healing and spiritual healing. To me, the more important is going to be spiritual healing. When someone comes to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they decide to repent, to turn away from their old self, this life of sin, and to follow Christ, that is a complete surgery healing by God. I believe that all healing is divine healing. It all comes from God. It says in the next verse, James 5:15, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven." If the spiritual healing wasn't more important, I don't think God would have mentioned this verse here. "And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Just as in the Bible, through the Gospels, when Jesus would heal, he says, "Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more." It was more important to Jesus that they be healed spiritually and come to Christ than their physical being. It was only that physical healing that helped draw them closer to God. During my Philippines mission trip, our goal, our mission, was to know Christ and to make him known, to spread the gospel, to share Jesus Christ with those who had never heard it before. And that was our main goal. It was the spiritual sickness of those people. But God was so good, he allowed us to see physical healing as well. that I got to experience myself. There's one area where we met this lady who had just suffered a stroke the night before, she told us. And we noticed that her leg was really hurting. She couldn't even walk on it. She was limping really bad. She told us she couldn't bend it. She had a stroke, and she, when she found out that we were missionaries, she asked us if we could pray for her. We didn't ask her, she asked us, which I think is very important. As we see in the Word of God, it is by faith that makes people whole, their faith. And so we gathered together and we prayed for this lady. Another thing that's very important that God teaches us is when we pray, everything, again, depends on God. This is not of ourselves. This is not of our own powers. This is not, unfortunately, one of those instances where we have the superpower here. No, but when we come before God in prayer and we ask, uplift someone, or we ask a request to God, it is important that we keep God's will the center of our prayer. And so we prayed for this lady, and we prayed that if it be God's will, that He would heal her through her faith and trusting that God, that this God that we came to share with her, is able to heal her. And we prayed with her, and we prayed, and we had someone translating for her so she could understand that prayer and be encouraged. And at the end of the prayer, my partner, he asks, how do you feel? How does your leg feel? And she stops for a moment. She starts bending her leg and just crying and sobbing. It's like, I don't feel any pain. It's gone. It's totally gone. And she just starts on her own just praising Jesus. She's thanking God for healing her. And I told her, it's by your faith that you were healed. And after that, we had a chance to sit down with her and lead her to Christ so that she could have a personal relationship with Christ and come to Him before prayer, in prayer, on her own, whenever she wants. You know, and I'm sure that God used that instance to increase her faith tremendously. And she will always remember that. That not only was she healed physically, but she was healed spiritually from sin. There's another time where we were going through, and my ear started really hurting. It was really hard. I was afraid that I had an ear infection. I asked my team, "Hey guys, can you just pray for me? We're here, we're in another country, and you know, we don't have the medical stuff that we need." And then we just prayed. A few minutes later, we're in the van, and my friend asked me, "Hey, how's your ear doing?" I'm like, "It actually, it feels good. It's not hurting anymore." And I was just quick to say, "Lord, thank you. You know, that's all you." God takes care of His children, doesn't He? Again, it's the more important part, I believe, in this spiritual healing. James 5:16, the verse right after that, says, "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails and reveals much." I praise God that, again, we don't have to go to the Catholic Church and confess our faults to the priest. I don't need you to confess your sins to me or to each other. But God says to confess our sins to God, but our faults to one another. If I have injured you, then I ought to confess that to you. But I will not confess my sins to you, and I do not want you confessing your sins to me. Oftentimes, I have an accountability partner. I have someone who holds me accountable to walking close to God and keeping the commitments that I've made to God and to my wife, to my family. And with my accountability partner, there are times I confess my faults to him. Say, I need you to know this so that you can pray with me because I need prayer. I need spiritual healing from this, and I need prayer power. But God is the one that forgives our sins. Don't forget that. It's not a priest that forgives us. He doesn't have that ability to ask for our forgiveness. That's what we have Jesus Christ for. When Jesus died on the cross, and rose again, He left us a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, who abides and lives in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's in 1 John 1:9. So when it comes to healing, just remember our priority is spiritual, not physical. And as long as, and above all else, pray that God's will would be done. So that's P, that's power. And I spent a lot of time in that. But we also have power over the enemy through prayer in Jesus Christ. Again, this is not prayer power in us, it is power in Jesus Christ alone. I was reminded of the story in Acts chapter 19, where there's these Jewish exorcists who go and try casting out demons in Jesus' name. And then the demon says to him, like, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? And he ends up getting possessed by the same demon that's he's trying to cast out. It is not of our own power. It's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. One thing about, there's so much about prayer that I can go into, the need for fasting, the importance of that, and how that can draw us closer to God and give us more time for prayer, but I don't have time to get into all of that. Prayer can help in our power over temptation. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 7, verse 23, and read this passage with me, it says, But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He's talking about that war between our flesh and our spirit that goes on. Remember, when we pray, when we come before God, we draw our strength from Him. There's even power in the position of our prayers. Even when we humble ourselves, get on our knees, or fall on our face and pray before God. It's all throughout the Bible. The Psalms is a perfect example of that, as David weeps and tears his clothes and falls at his face in prayer and towards God. There's power of encouragement in prayer. Think of the times in your life when you were encouraged by prayer. Now, there's two different quotes I want you to listen to. There's, say you go up to, someone comes up to you and you say, hey, you know, I need some prayer. Will you pray for me? Which is more encouraging? That person say, yeah, I'll be praying for you, definitely. You know, have a good day. God bless you. I'll pray for you. Or that person says, you know what, you got time? Let's pray right now. Can I pray for you? And to hear that prayer, if you guys have had that before, isn't it so much more encouraging to hear that prayer right then and now? I try and be intentional with that myself. And instead of saying, I'll pray for you, just pray right there and then. Even with some of my patients at work, for those of you who know, I work at a dialysis center. Sometimes I don't have the opportunity because I'm working, and all I can do is say, I'm praying for you. Because I do. I pray for you guys. I pray for you, my patients. Other times I'm like, can we pray right now? Can I pray for you? And I've had patients, even if they aren't Christians, say, yeah, please. And I pray for them right there and then, for their wife or for their health or whatever it is. And to see them crying afterwards because they are so encouraged. So I challenge you to begin doing that and see not that just them being encouraged, but you encouraged by seeing them being blessed. Be intentional about that. Okay, next is R, for revival. Revival takes place in our hearts and minds when God's people humble themselves enough to bow and bend on their knees and pray. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. It's a humbling thing to pray, to come before God, the King of Kings, and bring our request to Him. But that's where revival starts. That's where revival will start in our nation and in our world if we want revival. is by prayer, by His people, us Christians and believers, praying. I love that this church prays for our president every Sunday and our leaders. God calls us to pray for those in authority over us. A, answers. As all of you have probably come to experience in your lives and in your prayer lives, is that not every answer is a yes. There's a few different answers that God gives to us. Sometimes it is yes, but it can still be revealed however God wants, however God believes is best for us. And most of the time, He does it His own way. We'll pray, but He'll still do it His own way. There's a no. For perhaps there's a different direction God wants us to go, or He's trying to protect us from something. I believe that sometimes we're so constant in our prayer, we're asking God, I want this, I want this, I want this. And He's like, okay, you want this? Go ahead and have it. Even though He knows it's not best for us. And that's kind of the downside of it, but the upside of that is it kind of shows that same repetitiveness of asking goes for asking something that's in His will as well. When we continue to ask, He wants us to, when it says to keep knocking at the door, it's a continual knocking just until that person answers the door. Then there's not now. And no and not now are really hard for us to accept. Whether it's because God wants to give us the desires of our heart, but sometimes it's in a different plan, and it's in a different way, which most of the time it is. But there's a purpose to that, even though we can't see it. And God, Your ways are so much higher than ours. Our thoughts are not Your thoughts. Why? Yield. This is important to the answer part, because we need to yield to the will of God and allow Him to work in full blessing mode, if I will. When we allow God, when we yield to Him, say, okay, Lord, this is my request to You. You know me. You know what I need. You know what I'm going through. But above all, whatever I ask, I pray that Your will would be done in my life and in my heart. When we yield to that, that allows God to perform His blessings to the fullest extent. Let's turn to Romans 6:16. You guys are going to get your finger workout with me. Romans 6:16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants you are to whom you obey. Sorry, this is King James Version I'm reading. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So whoever you yield yourself to, that's what you're serving. That's who you're serving. Whether it's you're yielding yourself to, giving yourself over to money, or to another god, or to your own will. Yielding to God starts with that humble act of getting on your knees, bowing before Him, and praying. Say, Lord, I give my all to You. Give my desires to You. My future, my career, my family. I yield it all to You, Lord. Because when you yield your life to Him, again, that's another doorway in your heart to allow God to work. E, eternal effects of prayer. Ephesians 6. Most of you guys know this passage. This is about the things that happen in the spiritual realm of things that we can't necessarily see. I think it's so important that we continue to stay in the Word of God, because a lot of times we forget these foundational teachings that we grew up listening to, like the fact that we live and there's a spiritual battle going on. There's a spiritual war going on for our souls. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the attacks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's for that reason we take on the armor of God. We have to remember that when we're praying, there is a literal battle going on. I don't know if you guys have had the opportunity to see that the new movie that came out, War Room. Powerful movie by the makers of Courageous and Fireproof. It's about this elderly lady who takes under her wing this young mom who's struggling in her marriage and her family, and basically teaches her how to fight. Like, she says, you've been fighting, but you've been fighting the wrong way, and you've been fighting the wrong enemy, your husband. Let me teach you how to fight the right way, and to fight the right enemy, Satan. He teaches her how to pray. And they go into their war room, their closet. They clear out their closet, and they come before God, and they pray, and they write down their prayers. And until that prayer is answered. When we pray for children like these children who come to accept Christ around the world through a Christmas box or through missionaries, the prayers that you guys say here affect them over there. Those of you who knew me while I was on my mission trips, while you were praying, you guys were opening up spiritual doors for us all over the place. You opened up doors for us to spread the gospel in public schools and have hundreds of people come to know Christ through your prayers. Just as the people, as the disciples prayed for Peter while he was in prison, that's what you guys were doing for us, for me and my team. You guys were opening those doors. You were allowing the armies of heaven to make a way for us to spread the gospel, which may never have been able to happen without your prayers. When we pray for our families and our friends and those who don't know Christ, I know for sometimes it seems like it's worthless and it's not doing anything. I've had friends that I've prayed for years and years, and it took them years to come to know Christ. And there's still some that I'm praying for that don't know Christ, but we need to keep on praying for them. R, repentance. Romans 10:3. Many of you know and have this one memorized as well. I think I wrote it down. 10:13, sorry. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I have this verse totally marked up, I got a lot of notes around it. But under that word call, I have written pray. Because that's how we call out to God, is through our prayer. And through prayer, we have the power to come to repentance. Here it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Now, whosoever shall go to church, be baptized, get under discipleship, then you can be saved. Not... For whosoever shall say 10 prayers and Hail Marys shall be saved. No, all it takes is for us to call upon the name of the Lord. To believe in Jesus Christ, that He is God's Son. He died for us and rose again. Repentance. Prayer. Power, revival, answers, yielding. Eternal life, eternal effects, and repentance. So my challenge to you guys this week, just make it, start small if you have to. Just 1 week. My challenge to you is to pray. That's step one, is just start praying more. Because we're all guilty of it. I've been guilty of it. Sometimes we just forget to plain pray. And that's the first step, is just take some time out of your day, whether it's your lunchtime at work, or in the morning, or in the evening, with your spouses, with your families, and just pray. Start by praying. And the thing I want to leave you with is in Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells and lives in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive, make new your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. I want you to pray and know who you are praying to. Remember who the God is that you're praying to. That same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in each one of us. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity of prayer that you give given to us. Lord, we know there's so many aspects of prayer and so much to prayer that we can dig our teeth into and learn. And I pray that you put upon each one of our hearts to get into that, perhaps on our own, and to study prayer, how to pray, how you would have us to pray. Lord, your Bible, in your word, your teaches us and gives us examples and shows how you prayed for your disciples. We thank you that Jesus Christ is interceding for us. Even those times and moments where, Lord, we have no idea what to say, and we come before you, and Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray. You still intercede on our behalf. And Lord, when we find it hard to pray, I pray that we would start perhaps by praying for others. Because I know that there's power in praying for others and just laying down our selfishness and looking to the needs of others. Remind us through our week to pray. I pray that each one of us would take sticky notes and stick them on our mirrors and on our walls and just in our refrigerator and just remind us to pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for our families. Pray for Israel. Pray for lost souls. Our pastors. Our missionaries. Just pray. Lord, we thank you. We love you. And we give you all the praise, glory, and honor. Please help us to be patient and yield to your will and to wait patiently for your will. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.